Well, it is great to be back at Grace Baptist this morning. You know, we've missed you guys greatly. We've missed this place. We've missed this church. And there's a lot of emotion that comes back when we pulled into the parking lot this morning. And as we've been able to fellowship with a few folks over the last few days, being able to worship with you this morning is a great joy. It's a great blessing. And I'll just quickly fill you in on what's kind of been happening with us. I know you want to ask, and I'll just be honest with you. I just want to say it one time. So it's been good. We moved a little bit over 15 months ago, and God did take us to a church, a small church in a small town. We don't have a Walmart or a Target within, 25 miles of us. So it's been a big adjustment. My wife didn't have Starbucks in the town, so she decided to go work for one that's about 25 minutes away. So she got her coffee fix. But God's doing a great work there at First Baptist in Dayton, Texas. We did arrive there with about 80 people. About 90% of them were 65 and older. And there were two children in the church. And we, of course, doubled their 100% growth as soon as we took our kids there. So they couldn't fire me the first day, so that was good. But the good thing is over the last year, God's worked. We've seen baptisms. We've seen salvations. We've seen young families come and join the church. We've seen unchurched people come seeking out God and having their lives totally changed by Him. And now they're joining and they're being a part, becoming servants. And we are averaging our what I like to call it. I don't like to lie as a pastor about numbers. So we are averaging about 150 on Sundays. We have an active attendance of about 170, 175, and then we did have a high of 280 on our Christmas service this year. And so God is doing wonderful things. He's growing the church, but I'll tell you what He's doing. He's growing me. And he is challenging me in ways that I never, there's been many times I wanted to pick up the phone and say, hey guys, can I come back? And because being the lead guy is a little different, and I'm learning, and I was well prepared through the elders and Pastor Andy, and I'm so thankful that you guys welcomed me back into the pulpit this morning. And church, we missed you and we love you. And so enough about us. We're here to talk about Jesus this morning. And I want to just kind of ask you to turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. This is going to be our text this morning as we worship the Lord through the hearing of the Word. And while you turn there, let me just kind of set the stage for you. Paul, he's writing to the church at Philippi to encourage them, to thank them, and to remind them. As a matter of fact, he's encouraging them to continue to keep Jesus Christ as the focus of all things. In Philippians, Paul is saying, this is Jesus. This is who we should serve, who we should love, and you should have joy in loving Him at all times. He's thanking them for their humility. He's thanking them for their generosity, not only towards the church, but the church had invested in Paul himself, and he couldn't be more gracious for that. And I know what it's like to have a church that invests in you and your family. And Grace Baptist, you do a great job of that for your staff. And I just want to commend you and can ask you to continue to do that for your staff and for your leadership. Love them well. Pour into them. Be reminded that they are serving the Lord and they are loving you because that's the calling that's on their life. He's not only reminding them that, he's also reminding them for what true salvation is. He's reminding them to be aware of those who are against them. Let me ask you, do you believe that Satan wants to attack the church? Absolutely, and he uses people to do that. He's reminding them specifically here in chapter 3 of the joy they have in Christ and the importance of allowing that joy to push them toward their ultimate goal. I know many of us have experienced a lot of great joy in this last year. We experienced a lot of great joy over the last few weeks as we've celebrated Thanksgiving, we celebrated Christmas, and we've had that joy that only Christ can bring. For some, this Christmas season was the first without someone, or this was the first Christmas season where you had to experience loss or grief. But as a believer, you were still be able to experience that time. You were able to have joy provided by the Lord. And that's what Paul is pushing them towards here in the book of Philippians. And so as we come to the final Sunday here in 2019, Paul is going to do this. He's going to provide for us some great wisdom that we need to heed heading into the year 2020. Are you excited about what 2020 has for you? I hope that you are. Some of you might be scared of what 2020 has for you based on what 2019 gave you. But let me tell you, there's good reason to look forward to the year 2020. And here's the deal. I follow you guys as much as I can. I stay in touch as much as we can. But I watch the services. I talk to some of the elders. And just I want to know what's going on in the lives of Grace Baptist Church. And here's the thing. I've been told and I've watched that y'all have accomplished much for the Lord this year. And I know it hasn't been an easy year. It's been a year of adjustments. But God is blessed and God is growing and God is adding unto His church. I saw the outreach you did for Christmas. And I was encouraged and thinking, man, one day I hope we can get to that place at First Baptist in Dayton. You know, there's no doubt in my mind the Lord desires to use Grace Baptist in a greater way to build His kingdom in 2020. So we're going to look at what Paul is teaching us this morning to allow us to become more faithful, to be more committed, and to be more determined for Jesus as we all move into this new year. So here's how we're going to approach this. We're going to approach it maybe a little differently. I don't know if things have changed much in how the preaching goes, but we're just going to walk through this Philippians chapter 3 verse by verse this morning. I'm not going to read it and then explain it. We're going to just read and explain as we go. And so I want you just to kind of be able to follow along there in Philippians chapter 3. Well, to set the stage for where we're going, one of the biggest technological advances took place this year in 2019. And what happened was the 5G network was instituted in the bigger cities in America. And I looked on my phone this morning. 5G's here in Bakersfield. And so y'all must be a big city. It's not in Dayton yet. So we're good. But that technological advancement has taken place. And here's what the research about this and what's reported that's supposed to happen through the 5G network. Through a landmark 5G economy study, they found that 5G's full economic effect will be realized across the globe by 2035, supporting a wide range of industries and potentially producing up to $12 trillion worth of goods and services. That's pretty awesome when you think about that. $12 trillion of economic impact that's going to take place through this 5G network. And I know we're all excited, we're all involved in technology, and the faster the internet, the faster the speed is better, right? We know that. Give us what we want, give us now. And while that's impressive, and that's going to be awesome for this earth, let me tell you something. I want to share with you this morning Paul's 6G plan for 2020. And I think it'll be encouraging to you. I think it'll be challenging to you. Because here's what's going to happen. This 6G plan that Paul gives us in Philippians 3 is going to allow us to make an eternal difference worth much more than $12 trillion in the lives of those in our sphere of influence. Do you realize you have a sphere of influence this morning? You are affecting people each and every day. Well, the first G that we see this morning that Paul refers to is found in verse 1 of Philippians 3, and it reads this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. So the first G we see is gladness. We see gladness. Paul reminds his audience that they have much to be glad for. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And what a great reminder for you and me as we kick off this passage, that we are to rejoice in the Lord in all things. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. We're to rejoice in the Lord because He's given us much to rejoice for. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want you just to, on there, on the back there, or wherever you're taking notes, I want you to write down two things that you can rejoice about this morning. Very quickly, take 15 seconds, two things. What can you rejoice about this morning going into the year 2020? I can tell you this, what I wrote down is I rejoice for my salvation. I'm so thankful that God chose to save me. You know, he could have said, you know what, there's no salvation for mankind. You could wind up in the pits of hell forever, and he could not care. But instead, what does he do? He chose to give us a way of salvation. So I wrote down, I'm rejoicing for my salvation because that's the foundation that pushes me in life. Then the second thing I wrote down is I'm thankful for my family. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my boys. I love my daughter. And as crazy as the kids can make me, I love, you notice I didn't say my wife can make me. That's smart right there. What I've learned is that I need to not only be thankful for my children and my wife, I need to rejoice in them because God's given to me as a blessing. You know, when I think about this, my salvation sets forth everything in my life. My family is a blessing. I strive to lead them in all areas. Sometimes I'm successful. Sometimes I fail. But I know that through my salvation, God will never fail anything that He does through me. I love Paul's bluntness here in the next few words. Here's what he writes. Listen, in the first part of verse 1. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Here's what's happening. Paul knows when people read this letter, here's what they're going to say. Oh, great. Here goes Paul again with that rejoicing stuff. He wants us to be glad in all things. But Paul beats them to the punch and he says, listen, reminders are a great thing for your health, for your safety. He understands that life is difficult and that it's tempting to allow our gladness and our joy to be stolen. So what does he do? He reminds them to rejoice in the Lord. I bet you can go back just within the last 24 hours and you've been tempted to have your joy stolen, have you not? And Paul says, listen, no, you're to rejoice in the Lord. And I'm going to remind you to continuously rejoice so that it's safe for you. And here's what he needed to understand in the next few verses. There were some people and some things that were going to come upon attack of this church. And he says, listen, you're going to have to rejoice through that always. But I'm going to remind you to remember this each and every moment. The first G in the 6G plan is gladness. Are you rejoicing in the Lord in spite of the circumstances you face today? Joy and gladness is not found in the circumstances. It is found in the faithfulness and foundation of Jesus. Let me say that again. Circumstances is not the basis for joy and gladness, but it is found in the faithfulness and foundation of Jesus. The second G of the 6G plan is found in verse 2 through 4. Let's read with me real quick. Beware of dogs. I love that. I can't stand dogs, so I'm glad that he said beware of them. Beware of dogs. Miss Colleen has brought a little puppy around my little daughter this week, and all I see is my daughter wanting a puppy. I'm going to have to break my daughter's heart. Thank you, Miss Colleen. I appreciate that. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. So what's happening right here? Paul provides great guidance here for the Philippian church. That's your second G this morning. It's guidance. Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to give you some guidance that's going to help protect your joy, help protect your life in Christ. He's reminding them of the enemies they're going to face on a daily basis. Listen, both inside and outside of the church. I wish we could have an age of the church where there wasn't infighting and bickering and splits. And I'm not just talking about local church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. It's a very poor testimony for Christ when the people of the church cannot get along. When the people of the church can't glorify God together because they allow flesh to get in the way. So here's what Paul is saying. He is speaking directly against the false teachers and against the false doctrines being spewed out of those who are desiring to add unto the gospel. Now he uses some very, very strong language. He says, beware of the dogs. Now, I don't know about you, but that's an interesting use of a term there when he's talking about the enemy. But here's what happened. He's bringing the culture into context. He's saying, during this time, there were wild and scavengerous type dogs. They would roam the streets, pillaging off of people. And they would attack the people for their food. But here's what's interesting. They would attack each other for the food. They were so hungry. They were so desperate. They would attack each other. And that's what he's saying. He said, listen, there's going to be folks that are going to come and they're going to be like those rabid dogs. They're going to come, they're going to steal your joy, they're going to attack you, but then once they are done attacking you, they're going to attack each other. And there's no place for that inside the church. Paul alludes to the false teachers of the day as dogs. He guides the church to be aware of those who were quarrelsome and of a contentious spirit, especially those who wrap their attitude in the name of religion. They attempt to manipulate their way into places of authority, and they work as the enemy from within. Can I tell you? Paul says, watch out for those folks. There's a reason why there needs to be accountability. There needs to be questioning. There needs to be looking into those who will be in the leadership of the church and those who are teaching and those who are discipling and those who are leading small groups and doing different things. We want to make sure that we're protecting the church against those who are trying to manipulate God's system. He goes on to warn the church. He says, beware of evil workers. These are those who desire to chase every fad, or more importantly, here's what it is, they stir up strife instead of putting it out. They are the ones who want to add to the gospel. They want to say Jesus plus something will save you. But can I tell you this morning, Paul provides guidance to keep watch for those rising up within the church that have these ideas. Can I encourage you this morning, Grace Baptist, never be ashamed or be afraid to put down the false gospel. It's okay to call it what it is. It's false teaching. It's heresy. It'll lead people straight to hell. Don't agree with somebody who thinks you have to add unto the gospel. Be strong in that. When we look, Paul is providing guidance as the mature believer in the situation. He's reminding the church of that importance of the fact that it's Jesus and Jesus alone. We're not to add unto salvation. We're not to invite others to come to Jesus. I'm sorry, we're not to expect God to do things in different ways. It's very simple. We are to invite others to come to Jesus and watch Jesus change their lives in only the way he can. The first G was gladness. The second G is guidance. And let me encourage you this morning, if you want 2020 to be the year the Lord uses you greatly, seek guidance from his word. Seek guidance from those who are mature in the faith. But most importantly, seek guidance from those who desire to see Jesus glorified and worshiped. The third G this morning is found in verses 4 through 6. And as we walk through this plan for 2020 to be great for the Lord, he goes on to read, Paul says this, "If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." The third G here is a little different, but I just entitled it Making the Grade. Making the Grade. Paul, again, is so good at what he does. He is such a man of wisdom. He's a man of truth. And he tells his audience, listen, if there is anyone who should be able to make the grade through religion instead of relationship with Christ, it's me. He says, listen, look into the stock that I came from. Listen to my birth and what I learned from this. I was circumcised on the eighth day like I was to be. I'm from the stock of Israel. I'm a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe gave Israel this first king named Saul. The tribe aligned itself with the faithful Judah when Israel was divided. It also was the tribe with the city of Jerusalem within its boundaries. And then Paul goes on to say, I'm the Hebrews of all Hebrews. He never wavered from the Jewish faith. He was a Hebrew true and true. And by the law, he goes, listen, that was by my birth. Now look at the law. I'm a Pharisee. I was the elite of the Jews. It was kind of like the spiritual athlete of the Jewish faith. He was the top of the top. He says, but look at my zeal that I had as well. I had a passion to persecute the Christians and persecute the church like nobody else. I would bring them to the jails, bring them to slaughter. I was doing what my religion told me to do. And he said, but look at by the righteousness of the law, Paul can say, I am blameless according to the law of the Pharisees. He's saying, listen, this is who I was. I was the elite of the elite. And if any religion, and by any standard of other religions, listen, I should be able to be the front of the line to get into heaven. But he says, listen, it's not about my religion. It's not about where I come from. It's not about who birthed me. It's not about what I've been taught. It's about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when we look at this, we go, wow, Paul, man, you're kind of getting a little real with these folks that you're writing to. But you know what? He's getting real to our culture as well today, huh? There's a lot of religious folks sitting in pews of churches. Can I tell you this morning, we don't need more religious people. We need more people with a relationship with Jesus Christ who has changed them and is guiding them to be the way that he wants them to be to glorify him and build his kingdom. Paul says, listen, if anyone makes the grade for salvation through flesh and through works, I do. My list is amazing according to the flesh. What Paul is doing and what he is saying, listen, he's saying, we cannot make the grade. I put the no symbol up there for a reason. You can't make the grade this morning. You cannot pass to get into heaven on your own works and your own flesh. It's not going to happen this morning. It's not going to happen any morning. Unfortunately for us, there's nothing we can do. There's only one way for salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you this morning, if you want 2020 to be successful spiritually, then do not hold yourself to man's standards. Do not place yourself on a pedestal acting like you have everything together and that you are a spiritual giant in need of no guidance and no growth. Do not place stipulation on others such as who can come to Christ or what others must do before they come to know to Christ. There is nothing that will hinder the cause of the gospel than for us to expect people to clean themselves up before they come before Jesus. Man, I want the filthiest, dirtiest sinner to come and meet Jesus. And you know what? I don't need to get in the way of that. Because you know what? I'm a pretty filthy, dirty sinner myself. And God said, come unto me anyways. You know, it's exciting to know that God has a way, that he's the one that's going to change him. He's the one that's going to fix him. And there's nothing that you and I can do. And there's nothing that you and I need to do to try to manipulate somebody on when and how they can be saved. When we think about this, we don't need to have an attitude that you have made the grade or that you've won through your flesh. Can I tell you, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been around the church for 40 out of my 41 years. Can I tell you, it's easy to slip into the I've got it made syndrome. Church, can I encourage you this morning? Do not become a church that feels like you've got it made. Be a church that knows we got a lot more work to do for the cause of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we want to see people that are lost saved. We want to see people that are saved grow and equipped to become the next leaders of the church. Excuse me for that. The first gladness, the first G is the gladness. The second is guidance. The third is you can't make the grade. The fourth G this morning is found in verses 7 through 11. Here's what it says. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The fourth G this morning is simply this. It's gospel. Paul is proclaiming the gospel. He reminds his readers, my stock, my religion, my flesh, my works, the things that provided me prestige and power within this world, I count them as a loss for Christ. They mean nothing. I lay those down so that I might know Jesus deeply. I might know him profoundly. That the things of the world, I count them as rubbish. I count them as garbage. Instead, I desire the righteousness of God. I don't desire my man-made righteousness, but that which is of God. This morning, Paul is saying the gospel is what matters. The gospel is Jesus and Jesus alone. I submit to him. I lay down earthly pleasures for the pleasures of Christ. And all I desire is to know God deeply, intimately, and passionately. So what is the gospel this morning? Can I share with you this morning? It's the same today as it has been forever. The gospel is very simple. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven. He came to this earth to be the sacrifice for our sins. For you and me who sin, who make daily sin occurrences. He said, you know what? I came to forgive you of that sin, to be the sacrifice of that sin. And all I want you to do, I want you to confess with your mouth that I am Lord. I want you to believe in your heart that I came to this earth, that I died, I was buried, and I rose again. And I did that for you, and I want you to submit to me being the Lord of your life. The gospel is simple, folks. What gets in the way is our flesh and our pride. And can I tell you this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, it's a simple thing of laying down yourself and picking up the cross to Christ and saying, I'm walking with you, Jesus. It's that simple this morning. We pray that if you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you never repented of your sin and given your life to him, we pray that you kick off the new year in 2020 as a believer in Jesus Christ. Your life will never be the same. As a matter of fact, when we think about this, he says, listen, I want you to know that the 6G plan for 2020 includes guidance or gladness, guidance, and making the grade. It also includes the gospel. And the next G we find is in verses 12 through 16. It says this, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Man, I love the fact here, Paul says this, set your goal. Set your goal. And here, I'm going to give you what that goal is. He knows what he wants to accomplish moving forward. Paul is encouraging the Philippian brothers and sisters to do the same. Set your goal, know your goal, move towards your goal, and the goal you need to set needs to be that of knowing and growing in Christ more and more every day. Let me ask you, do you have a passion to grow in Jesus Christ every day? I'm not saying do you do it, but do you have a passion for it? Because you have a passion for it, you'll do it more and more often, and you'll become that deeper, knowledgeable, passionate lover of Jesus Christ. I hope that that's where your heart is this morning. I hope that you haven't lost the passion, the zeal to go and to share the good news of the gospel, but not only that, to encourage yourself and to hold yourself accountable in growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Paul uses such a strong language here in the Greek when he speaks of laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold on me. He is saying, I want Christ and everything he has to offer. I want him just as much as he wanted me. Did you hear that this morning? Jesus wants you. He wants you. Not part of you. Not pieces of you. He wants the entirety of who you are. He wants mind, soul, and body. He wants you to be encapsulated by him. This morning, I pray that we have the same attitude as Paul says. I want Jesus just as much as he wanted me. He's saying that, again, I want that. And Jesus wants us so much that he gave his life for us. And Paul is saying, I want to grab everything that Christ has to offer to me and pull it to me as tight as I can. And I want everything he offers so that I can know him in a more deep and knowledgeable way. And I want people to know there's no doubt that I love my Savior. Oh, this morning, you might not be able to speak the gospel because you just tremble with fear. But can I tell you, that's one way that you need to get to. But until you can get to that place where you're comfortable sharing the gospel with your words, you can share the gospel with your actions and your lifestyle each and every day. You see, Jesus changes us from the inside out. He makes us new. When we were weak in areas, he has made us strong because it is he who is within us. So Paul reminds himself and his readers this. He says, listen, I'm Paul. I have not arrived. I have not learned everything. So this is for the leaders in the church this morning. If you're leadership at Grace Baptist Church, can I tell you, you haven't arrived either, right? I haven't arrived as a pastor. I've got so much more that I can learn and gain in the knowledge and the understanding of God. As a matter of fact, as a believer and as a Christian, as a leader, as a pastor, I've made mistakes. I've messed up out of naivety or just being young or sometimes just being stupid. I like that because y'all agree with that. Y'all seen that. Y'all saw that a lot here, right? I didn't need an amen there. That's all right. That's good. But the reality is this. None of us have arrived. And if Paul himself, the greatest missionary that ever lived, if he says, listen, I got so much more I need to grow and know in Christ, then guess what? We should probably take his advice. You know, there's not one person this side of heaven who has arrived in their full maturity in Christ. Not one person. Not you, not me, not anyone. You know, Paul gives some great advice concerning the goal. Here's what he says. I want you to do this. He says, I want you to press on. I want you to press on. Always be in pursuit of Jesus. Press on through the stresses. Press on through the daily battles. Press on through the frustrations. Press on through the failures. Press on through all things. Pursue Jesus in all things, and he goes, press on toward the prize. Here's what he says, learn from the past, but do not focus on the past. There's so many believers who live in the past and let their past stop them from pressing on for Jesus Christ. He saved you, he forgave you. If he can move on, why can't we? I want to encourage you this morning, push on towards the prize. Do not let the past hold you back from pressing on towards the goal. Look forward to the future and obtaining the goal. Keep your heart, your eyes, your mind on the prize. Desire to finish strong. Desire to complete the race. Desire to obtain the prize. Press on toward the prize, which is the upward call in Christ Jesus. The price is the upward call of God. The price is the call itself. Listen, that's the prize. It's not the benefits that come with it, although they're great. The prize is the fact that God has called us unto salvation. He's called us unto doing the good works that He has made for us before time. The call is the prize. F.B. Meyer says it like this: it's a high calling because it comes from above, from God. The conception of it has emanated from His heart. It's a high calling because it is worthy of God. It's a high calling because it is so much above the ideals of men. And then this is a high calling because it summons us to where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Another author said this, because it's such a glorious call, it's worth reaching forward for it. He says this: the Greek word points out the strong exertions made in the race. Every muscle and nerve is exerted, and he puts forth every particle of his strength into running. He was running for life and running for his life. Can I tell you this morning, when God calls us to pursue him and to press on, here's what he's telling us to do. He's saying, give me everything you got. Don't leave a little bit off where you have a little more to go later on in the day. He's saying, when you're running for the prize, when you're running the race, give everything you got. And listen, our race doesn't stop until the day we see Jesus in heaven. So I know there's days you want to take off. I know there's days you don't want to give everything you have to Jesus. Can I tell you? I'm the same way. But Paul encourages us this morning. He says, do not quit. Give everything at every moment. Live for Jesus in a way that changes your life and the way and the ones around you. You know, when you continue to look and you move forward this morning, we see that Jesus Christ is the only way. Paul's making that sure. He's also saying that our joy comes from Jesus Christ. But when I think about running that race and setting the goal, I'm going to ask you this question. This morning, the goal for 2020 needs to be set. How will you press on toward the prize of the upward calling? What is your personal discipleship plan for 2020? Guess what? You're going to get challenged with that this year. I know you are at Grace. What's your personal discipleship plan? Where do you fit in the small groups? What's your Bible study plan? What's the goal? What role does faithfulness to Christ and His church play in your goal? What areas of growth do you need to focus on? How can you serve Christ in building His kingdom in the workplace, the community, the church, and the neighborhood? We got a lot of goal setting to do, and we're to press toward that. You know, that's up to you individually, how God lays it on your heart, but I guarantee you He's calling you to faithfulness and commitment and to keep on pressing toward the prize each and every day. The last G we see this morning comes from verses 17 throughout the rest of the chapter. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. But verse 20, one of my favorite passages in God's word: for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. There's a little side note. Paul struggled his entire ministry with that idea of saying, you know I'm saved, I'm confident in my salvation, but I'm ready to be resurrected as the Lord was. He wanted that body to be glorified. And you know what? Today his spirit is in heaven, as we all will before we die, and one day our bodies will be glorified. We'll talk about that in 1 second. But the last G here this morning is this: it's the gift. It's the gift. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul reminds his readers, as well as you and me this morning, of the gift that awaits for those who believe in Christ Jesus. But before he reveals that gift, you know what? He has a moment where he's sad to share, but he has to do it, that there are those who have fallen away from the faith. He warns that although he is sad, he must protect the church and those that he loves from those who have fallen away to avoid their false teachings. In the year 2019, we had many brothers and sisters in Christ in the public form of Christianity who fell away from their faith. who recanted their faith and said, I no longer believe God is who he is. And they've gone on now to begin to teach the world's perspective of joy and happiness and salvation. They have a lot of followers. They're going to do a lot of damage because people are going to follow man instead of God. Can I tell you this morning, keep your eyes focused on Jesus, because the gift is eternal life in Christ and only through him. You know what? We can be as kind as we want and need to be, and we must be kind. We can be as accepting as we need and must want to be, and we need to be accepting. But folks, we cannot hide the truth that sin is sin and Jesus is the forgiver of sin. And it's only through him that there will be a life full of joy on this side of heaven and on the other. You know, as we finish up, in this warning, Paul reminds us that for those who believe, our citizenship is in heaven. And Brother Mike, you introduced me to that verse over 4 or 5 years ago when you lost your mom. And I want you to know that verse has stuck with me and made a difference in my life. Because you said, you know what? This is what my mom would want everybody to know. That our citizenship is not here on this earth. We are just passing through. That changed my perspective, folks. I was so focused as a young man living for what this world has to offer, even as being a pastor. But when you're introduced and you understand that, listen, this is temporary and none of it matters. Oh, folks, if we could find a culture of Christianity that would live by this, that nothing else matters except the cause of Jesus Christ, and to know our citizenship is in heaven. I'm reminded through this verse as I preached that celebration of life service and was introduced to this verse from another guy sitting right over there who said, Brother Keith it was. He said, George, listen, sometimes when you preach, you focus a lot on what it was before Christ and in that sin, and that's good, we've got to, but you need to focus on the joys of what salvation has brought. You changed my preaching that day, brother. Thank you so much for that. But here's why. It's not about changing my preaching or changing the concepts that go forth from God's word, because we can't change that. But what men do when they introduce you to scripture is they change your life because they introduce you to the one who can do it. This morning, I want you to understand your 6G plan for 2020. It better be involved looking forward to the prize of the citizenship in heaven. So how do we move on into a time of invitation? How do we apply this to our life right now? I don't want you to miss this. The kids have been great, except that one. But here's the deal. The 6G plan for 2020. You want to be successful for Jesus Christ? Let me encourage you. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Place biblical guidance at the forefront of your everyday decisions. Place biblical guidance at the forefront of your everyday decisions. I'm thankful for men, not just those two men, but the men in this church for 6 years who invested in me and guided me in the Word of God, although I was their pastor. They said, you know what? You still got a lot to learn. Let us help you guide in that. Men, I'm thankful for you. Ladies, I'm thankful for those of you who invested in my wife and my children. You provided the spiritual guidance that made sure that was at the forefront of our mind in everyday decisions. Understand that none of us make the grade. This morning, start out 2020 with understanding you haven't made the grade, but Jesus has made the grade for you. And live in his acceptance, and live in his forgiving, and pursue the prize. Proclaim the gospel through word and action. Proclaim the gospel through word and action. Folks, just don't speak it if you're not going to walk it. And listen, don't just get comfortable walking it. Get to the place where you can speak it. Share the gospel. Set your goal and press forward. Set your goal and press forward. And then the last thing I leave you with is be confident in the gift of heaven that it awaits for those who are saved. On the other side of that, if you haven't accepted Christ, you can set all the goals you want in 2020. But until that one goal of becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, your citizenship is also temporary. And the Bible tells us that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the only difference that's going to be on that day is those who willingly do it because they made him the Lord of life here on this earth. And then there are those who will be forced to do that. And the citizenship will not be heaven. It will be a place called hell, separated from God forever. But the good news for you today is that Jesus does not desire hell for you. He desires heaven to be your place of citizenship. Oh, this morning, try the 6G plan out. Not George's plan, not even Paul's plan, but God's plan. Can we pray?